Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is the ninth day of September 2018. It is the second Sunday of the month. And I have something interesting to talk about tonight. Many people would be upset about it, but I view change of body is just being another part of life. So it was very interesting that just last week we had a show which was a sort of an after show for the Harvest Hill Touch Mother Earth event that happened the previous week, the 24th through the 26th. And there was a gentleman who at that time went by the name of Jeffrey Orozco who was on the show. And pardon me, folks, I didn't know Jeffrey that well, but I just want to talk about the circumstances in general. And there is already one caller on. I'll get you on very, very soon, and we can have a conversation about what you want to talk about. Hey, folks out there, if you're listening, the number to call in is 646-564-9714. And I used to go with what society said. I used to get sad about, you know, people dying. Everybody's got their life path. And we've got these disposable vehicles called bodies. And you move on to your next life, because we get so little of the rainbow of life in one life. And we obviously know so much from so many lives that it absolutely doesn't make any common sense to me that we've only lived one life. So when someone transitions, regardless of how they transition, they were walking a path and they got to a point where they needed to transition to get to their next appointment. And that's how I consider things. So I don't get upset about things. And I try not to go with the flow when everybody in this society who's programmed to totally have a meltdown does that. Now, I freely admit that after my mom died, I was her sole caregiver for 3 years. I had a complete meltdown. And it lasted for 18 months, and I was completely isolated from the world, and then I woke up one day. It was in the middle of, I guess it was like 4:30 a.m., and all of a sudden, something switched in me, and it was basically like, okay, it isn't all dark, and I'm not in the darkest part of the dark. It's all light. So I changed. But I'd like everybody else to reflect on the fact that we're all here, we're all getting experience, we all need all the experience that we're getting. So hello, caller. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Katya Roberts, and I thank you for having the space to talk about these things, and it's a very, I felt, needed topic to, you know, discuss. There's so many different viewpoints when it comes to grief and different experiences, how an individual relates to it, and I agree with all the things you've stated so far, and Jeffrey was a close brother friend of mine. We were in a, I don't know him personally that long, but this past year we've been in a intensive shamanic training together. And and out of, yes?
Yeah, you know each other pretty well, so, yeah.
Yes. We know each other very well. Do you want me to, you have any specific questions, or should I just carry on sharing?
No, just go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead and reflect and say what you want to say. That's perfectly fine.
Yes, so Jeffrey, we've been together in this shamanic training for the past year, and we were only four participants left, because as the year continues, it's quite a intense journey of the soul, and a lot of things surface, so people do choose to drop out. And so out of four participants really left in it, we only had six more weeks to go, and we would have graduated and been initiated, you know, as shamanic practitioners. And, you know, granted, most of us have other practices. I'm a healthcare practitioner, and he has his own gifts that he's been sharing in coaching and so forth. And we basically just really stood up for each other as each other's support pillars throughout the journey together, as things, because we're diving so deep into the inner work, you know, things surface that you have to move through, and we would support one another, because it can be quite a lonely, daunting world, you know, and also doing the shadow work. I've never seen anybody that would face the inner demons head on as he would, as far as shadow work and inner child work and so forth. So he was very always up and eager for taking on these emotional challenges and so forth. And just as doing intense ceremony with him, it was always a joy also, because he would just bring so much to the table, like just so much vibrancy and full of life. And I went to his celebration of life service on Friday, and I was just amazed. He's so young, he was 31 years old, just how many people's lives he touched. And it was actually a good reminder of, like, you know, what an impact you can make in this lifetime, the time you have before you transition to the next. And who knows, you know, I also believe in the linear, you know, like this simultaneous lifetimes happening. I mean, it's hard for us to comprehend, so maybe he's busy somewhere else doing his work now, where he's more needed. And so it's just interesting conversations. But he was quite a gift to this world, and really severely impacted a lot of people in a very positive way, and he had a lot to share. So I'm really honored to have known him for such a short while, even though it was an intense, you know, we shared a lot. So I'm grateful that he supported me through some dark times too. So yes, that's what I wanted to, in a nutshell, what I wanted to share. But I'm interested to hear more about your conversations on the grief itself as well.
So when I went through what I went through after my mother passed away, which was just me basically trying to make sense out of my own guilt, I got into, I basically transitioned to a really dark place where I blamed myself for everything, and I said, there's no possible way you can get out of this. But what happened to me once I got there, and once I was in the quote-unquote the bottom of the hole, I continued to exist. And after a while, in my continued existence, Rumi's out beyond the notions of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field, I'll meet you there, sort of started to eat away. And I didn't really see it eating away. All I got after 18 months was just a sudden insight. And the sudden insight that I received was where I was and where everyone exists isn't completely dark and without hope.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually all light. And actually, every place that we could possibly experience is an experience that we need to have. So in order to be a holder of the experience and be able to hold the experience for others, to train others, you have to have been on all sides of all encounters, doing all jobs that are required for that encounter to exist. You must be a fully passed individual. So that's what I now see as experience mastery, is giving up morals. And basically, it's hard to give up morals because we walk around in society and we say, you're a good person. But it's also, I believe, and Dave Miller talks to me about this all the time and sort of raises his eyebrow when I say this, I believe it's mathematically correct to say, the universe is made up of all shades and all colors, and in order to have the universe with all of these various diverse experiences, you have to have people holding down all these various diverse roles. So when society says so-and-so took their own life, that's a bad thing, I look at them now, not as I would have looked at them previously, I look at them now, and I just say, it's part of the possible action groups that humans have. Why are you basically pointing a finger at this individual and saying that was wrong? There's the society perspective where we don't talk about the entire nature of the lion. We just say, oh, we'll just look at the good features of the lion, the things that society likes about the lion. And then no one wants to say, we accept the entire lion, except for people who are interested in looking at the entire equation and saying, well, gee, the entire equation of the universe exists. Therefore, how can you have this encounter or how can you have any encounter without the people who are taking the roles on the quote-unquote evil side of the coin? So I look at things that way. So I'd like to bring in our next caller. Hello? In the 804 area code. Who's this?
My name is Hugh. I was just listening, but I have a little bit of a challenge to what you're saying, because I believe that we incarnate to learn unconditional love. As we learn it, we're supposed to be a blessing to others, especially those who can't help themselves. And we're not here to be a doormat for somebody else to take advantage of if they have evil intent. There is karma attached to negative energies that are put onto somebody by the person that does that.
Yes, I believe in unconditional love and unconditional love for every aspect of everything. So it is. I also believe that once we have sampled all of the possible actions, we can look at it and say, hey, we can transition, having been fully trained, to not doing some of the things that we had to do in order to be trained. But in order to, it's like in order to know both sides of the coin and only act on one side, you kind of can't go by someone else just basically pedantically telling you you only need to be on one side of the coin. Because when people make rules, they can change those rules, and then you're left without an education in large areas. That's not really what the show is about. So did you have experience with Joffrey?
No, I was just listening, and you picked up on me. I wasn't raising my hand, but. Yeah, I've had quite a bizarre life, everything from UFO, paranormal, and near death, and some very powerful life experiences that I showed people how I chose with my faith to go with forgiveness, love, and prayer. And that's why I wanted to say what I said, because people that have fooled with me, some have actually died. I never asked for that to happen, but that's, again, where I stand in my truth and light. If you fool with the wrong person, there is karma.
Yeah, I try to act according to how I try to act in a way that I don't see as being deleterious to other people.
I was just going to say I was arrested from my bed. I've never been arrested for anything. I was set up in a scheme by a corrupt police sergeant who's now dead, as well as some of the gossipers that set me up. And all this is sitting in the White House still being covered up from the Obama administration. That's just one illustration. I'm fine. I forgive them. I want my story told because some of them need help.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, you can be joyful and loving, but when you're shining a big light and something comes at you that's negative, you have to deal with it. You can't just let the darkness overpower the light.
Oh, absolutely. You have to be yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
I certainly act as myself, and I act to counter other people who are trying to. Move me from who I am. So I believe in myself, and I believe where I stand, and I believe in how we all believe in our own right, and I believe in my own right, and I try to quote unquote do well by other people, but then I have to look at the larger equation and try to make sense of the existence of everything else.
Right, it's very simple. It's just, number one, we all have a God spark within us. We're not God. Some people say they are, but when I run into those types, I say, do me a favor and tell me how you created yourself. You'll entertain me about a half a second, but I think Jesus Christ said everything we need to know. Always put God first, number one. Secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can take that into your heart and into your family, into the community, and just live that life, you're right on track with your life. So you don't have to complicate it all.
Right.
And really, forgiveness, love, and prayer. That's it in a nutshell. But I'll let you move on. I was just listening. I thank you for taking me on. I have somebody calling me now that I have to get back to.
Okay, I'll put you. Are you going to drop, or are you going
to
get back on hold?
I have to call somebody back, but thank you again. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. So thank you so much to my first two callers. If there's anyone else out there who would like to talk about Joffrey, Dr. Neo Orozco, please call in. The number is 646-564-9714. Thank you to his shamanic colleague for calling in and sharing her experiences with Joffrey. Thank you so much. I actually don't do this very much, but I'm going to take a 1 minute break. I will be back in 1 minute, folks.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Well, thank you to Terry and Onyx for the peace prayer. And everybody has a different viewpoint, and that's fertility. That is the multi-viewpoint fertility of the universe. And I need to talk to a lot more people. That's why I'm on the radio. I'd like to talk to a lot more people because I'd like to take in their viewpoints and just be in them for a little while. My viewpoint is everything is positive. Every single instant of your life is a positive opportunity to, some people would say, raise your game. I don't see to accept the training that you're being given. Even if, quote unquote, it's the worst possible situation and something, quote unquote, really bad is happening. And I had, you know, several circumstances in my life in the last week. And because of the because of the training that I have received, and this is not formal training, this is training that I've received in life. I talked about my mother's passing, and the training that I received in that 18 months after her passing, and the training to basically go into a state in which my body, I mean, I picked my mother up every single day. I put her from her bed into her wheelchair, gave caregivers. I was her 24/7 for 3 years. I had, you know, great muscle tone. I went to the gym. I basically worked very, very hard, physical labor, to move her around, to get her places. And after that, the only thing I thought about was why I should remain alive and why I shouldn't just cease to exist. And I thought about that question for 18 months. I went to see if Mental Wards had the answer to my question. And after about the fourth or fifth one, a stay at one of those places, I understood emphatically that they did not have what I needed. So I had to solve the problem. I had to solve the, there was a riddle in front of my face, and it was basically an impossible task, or what I thought was an impossible task. And so life to me is irrational. And life to me is not about 1 + 1 = 2. Life to me is about being unable to continue and just persisting and just lying on the floor and saying, if I'm unable to continue, why am I still here? And then the next day, wait a minute. If I'm unable to continue, and there's nothing left for me, and there's no reason why my being should continue to exist, why do I continue to exist? And slowly, just seeing that hypocrisy of society, of myself, basically totally denigrating myself, and then coming to the realization that I was wrong, that I wasn't wrong about something so small as my own minor transgression, even if it was probably not even a transgression, but my own minor action was something dark. Because by being able to look at, by being able to define the mathematics of one supposedly dark action as not possibly being dark, I was able to understand that none of them are dark, that all of them are required in order to have the universe. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist. That the fertility of the universe is based on things that we find repulsive. But why do we find them repulsive? We find them repulsive because a group of rule makers has defined them as being repulsive. Well, who are rule makers? Let's talk about that just after the break. And because I need to relax a little, I'm going to listen to one of my favorite songs. Dave the Bard, Green and Gray. See you in a bit, everyone. Thank you.
around the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil.
tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
So, before the break, we were talking about rules. And rules are interesting because they reduce the space that you can act in for the people that are accepting the rules, and they expand the space that the other persons on the other side who are applying the rules but quote-unquote can act outside of the rules can actually do in the game. So it's all a game. It's all about which action sets certain people can do, or which other action sets other people can do. Target of what we're talking about tonight is a young man. Time is a subject for another show. I don't believe there is any. A seemingly young man choosing to take his own life, seen through this society's primary training as being something very, very, very horrible. Anybody dying anytime is seen as being something that's very horrible. And there are many philosophical texts that talk about why does one feel that death is so horrible? Things die. Bodies die. And you can either say bodies die and that person is no more forever, or bodies die and someone somehow can acquire a new body and move on to the next life. Whether I'm illogical or irrational, I believe that people move on and things move on and beings move on to take up a new existence in the new form, whatever that form may be, and we may or may not have explored many, many of those forms. And over truly a much longer period of quote-unquote experience that we can even wrap our minds about. So I'd like everyone comes across this program to entertain the notion that death is natural, that your loved one, that the person that you were connected to, that the being that you were connected to, there's a road, and the road may seem illogical to you. There's a path. So there's a path between the death of one body, and the body doesn't actually die because cells are born and lose their form all the time, and it's just like a recycling of matter. So I think the saying is ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And so we take up the dust, and at the end of our lives, the dust goes back to being the dust. And so it's constituted, we have the seed and it's constituted into a tree. So it is our never-ending journey, our dance through experience, our dance to master experience, that we take up forms and that we come upon, and we are the puppeteers of this object with this colony of 100 trillion cells with arms and legs and a mouth and eyes and other organ systems and things like that. And that's quote-unquote our actor. And then we act through that and we interact with other people. We interact with other things and we interact with the world. So I look at every instant in every journey as being ecstatic, as being, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to me. This is so great. And then the next moment, this is so great, but it's even greater because what just happens in the last second builds on the previous character. And you just get this N plus one character building and building and building. But then you have to realize how long you've been building and how little that plus one is. My goodness, you have an opportunity to go into a new area. Like Joffrey and our caller, they're just beginning their shamanic journey. Can you imagine the power of change to your character? Oh, my goodness, can you imagine the impact that this life's new area, you're filling in a zero, even something that's non-zero, that whole area of your mastery dance card is actually not blacked in with no footsteps upon it. It's actually got footsteps upon it. So for the last six to the show, I want to really, really focus on taking one's own life. And I want to focus on it from the perspective of admitting that I have thought about it under really circumstances that didn't merit it. I've actually tried to do it, not in a real meaningful way, but it has crossed my mind, and I have tried it. But I would like to tell you a reflection of a story that I overheard Wa telling a small group of people in 2005. So I was at Kripalu in Lenox, Massachusetts, and she was there. I didn't schedule to go to R&R at Kripalu, looking at the calendar and saying, oh, Wa is going to be there, I want to go. I was changing my life, or my life was being changed for me. And she basically said she had met a young gentleman who was in a period of high stress. And his life was changing, and he didn't understand why. He was extremely stressed. And she told him, don't take your own life, because you will be back at the same rock face, staring at the same vein of ore, doing exactly the same thing in another life that you give up doing now. Now you're conscious. Now you see your work ahead of you. It is not easy work. It is not easy to change from being, I'll just use a short, ill-posed label, a drone in society. It is hard to stop being that drone and start being someone who's actually saying, no, I don't want to paint my number's life. I actually want to define my own life. I want to do something that is not cookie cutter. that is incredibly hard, and you have to take up so many more reins in your life. You have to actually be the orchestrator. You have to do so many more things. And it's just basically all of the time you have a total lack of confidence in yourself. Am I doing the right thing? Society's not giving me a pat on the back. Oh, my goodness, I feel really insecure doing this. So you go through life, and on top of all the other voices of your subconscious that are telling you you're not doing the right thing, you've got even more that are telling you you're not doing the right thing. Changing from being within society and being, you know, oh, you're this great rocket scientist, or you're on the faculty at one of the Ivy League universities. Wow, that's respected. Or any one of the other, oh, you're in the corporate world. You work for IBM, or you work for Smith, Kline, and Beecham. You're in the pharmaceutical industry. Wow, that's highly respected. Or you're a medical doctor, or any of the other defined high priest roles that are out there. Oh, you're a volunteer firefighter, and you work at programming at such and such. This is what my husband does. You know, he's A, B, and C, and everybody's like, ooh, everybody's gonna be a little happy. To be someone who's actually defining their role in society, oh, like me, I'm a produce seller. What the heck's a produce seller? What's the impact on society? What's the impact? You know, it's like, never heard of one of those before. What exactly does that person do? Oh, I'm kind of unsure. So on top of, every day, like, well, am I really cutting it in the world? You have to question all these other roles that you have to fill in for yourself in order to step outside of society and run your own life. Everybody has I don't want to point a finger at Geoffrey's choice with anything other than unconditional love. And I'm going to say something that a lot of people are going to be upset about: approval of what he did. Because if I unconditionally love what he did, because I unconditionally love everything that everyone does, I don't want to be disconnected. I don't want to cut myself off from the entirety of the universe. I can have my own opinion about it. If I want to be honest with myself and I want to be honest with my connection to the universe, I have to say I love everything. I might, off stage, I might like to pull a face and spit and, act like I just ate a lemon. But if I actually want to sit down and take the licensed exam for how do you feel about the universe, and somebody says, how do you feel about all of the universe? I unconditionally love all of the universe. I don't want any obstacles between myself and any action that could possibly take place in the universe. And that statement will not win me many friends. So I am Geoffrey's friend when he was Geoffrey. And I am Geoffrey's friend without reservations, whoever he is now and whoever he will be in the future. And I won't say, hey, why the heck did you do that? I'll say, I see where your feet are now. I see where your journey is now. And I don't need to understand why you had to take those particular steps in your journey. I understand you needed to take them because you took them. I understand that they were steps taken in love for not only yourself, but for everyone you were connected to. That's just the nature of the universe. Everyone steps with love all the time. Now, we morally raise our eyebrows because we're ruled, or we choose to be ruled. That's how we're stepping now. That's how our mind is now. I still do it. I pull faces. I point fingers at people. But I also have another hat that I can wear, and that's the hat that I'm wearing in the last 5 minutes of the show. Or maybe that's the hat that I've worn for the entirety of the show. The hat that I call out beyond the right notions of right doing and wrong doing, there's a few. You wear that hat. The hat of unconditional love for everything and everyone, regardless of what they are doing. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. Thank you, Geoffrey. I spoke with you a number of times on previous episodes of this radio program. You, in passing, last Sunday night, and you've transitioned, and maybe you're in park, but you'll soon be born again into some other existence. Right here with everybody else, because there isn't any other place to be. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. This episode was prompted by Geoffrey, Dr. Emilio Orozco's choice to take his own life, to transition to a new existence where he has an appointment to keep. He did that on Monday. His earthly remains were discovered on Tuesday. And I am not really hooked into the community. I'd like to be in the community, but there have been a number of memorial and celebratory events that have taken place in the last week, in the last few days. Thank you, everyone. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. You don't need to agree with me. I have some pretty weird views on loving everything. My name is Alan Ritter. My email address for contact is RITTER.ALAN88, the number 88, @gmail.com. I run a small produce club in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area, and you can get more information about that club at the email address that I just gave, or by going to produceclub.us, and that'll take you to a Facebook page where you can join. But send me an email anyways. Let's have a chat. I basically take advantage of the fact that Philadelphia is a huge, huge, huge port, largest freshwater port on the face of the earth. Or at least the part of the earth that we're told about. Anyways, it is the biggest. And there is a lot of produce that goes through it. And if we were in the middle of nowhere and had access only to grocery stores, that's the only source of produce. You'd have to buy your stuff from the grocery store. But we're not. We are right next to a gigantic fire hose of cases and pallets and tons of every single vegetable and fruit you could possibly imagine. And because of that, and because of inefficiencies in any such big fire hose system, there are discounts. They're number one. Their premium quality stuff does not cost as much as grocery store. Not by a long shot. Sweet potato number one quality is a factor of three when you buy the case between that, Whole Foods, or Wegmans. If you have number two, which is basically stuff that's stored for a while and then they have to move it, hey, we've got, 2% or 1% of this multi-pallet load is still hanging around here. We need to get it out of here because more is coming next week. They lower the price even more. So a box So sweet potato, which, you know, $3 a pound of Whole Foods would have cost you $120. I buy that number one every day for $36. But at the other end, when it is getting sent to the dumpster, they give a last opportunity for people to buy it. And that opportunity price is $5 a box. So you basically go from $3 a pound to 90 cents a pound to 14 cents or 12 cents a pound for organic sweet potato. All perfectly fine to eat. Now there is some things that when you put age on them, they degrade. Pure leafy greens. So I don't encourage people to buy seconds or end of the line leafy greens. There's a lot of other things, including red pepper, and a lot of apples and oranges and fruits and broccoli and zucchini and all that good stuff you can buy for a very good price. And that's what I do. And so thank you again for listening to my program. Thanks to my callers earlier on for participating this evening. My final note, and sometimes I get to say this and sometimes I don't. Life is about being at your edge. Life is about going over your edge. Life is about stretching your character. You are no areas of the action space that are not safe and approved. You might even be able to invent new areas of the action space. But out beyond the notions of right doing and wrong doing, there's a field. I'll meet you there. All the possibilities are open to action. Come back from all of them. Even if you lose your body, you come back to the next life from all of them. Hello, caller. Welcome to the program. If you want to be on, if you want to say something, that's fine. Here I am winding up my program, and I get a caller. You want to be on or not? Sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, okay. somebody butt-dialed the program. That's okay. Thank you for calling in 917. Thank you everyone for listening in tonight. Thank you for my now three callers. Usually on solo programs I don't get that many callers, but tonight was a special program. Please explore your edge. Please be understanding of people who are exploring your edge, because if they're really exploring a severe edge for themselves, they might lose their body. Maybe Joffrey was exploring a severe edge for himself and he didn't lose it, but the situation, the symptomology that we all saw was him basically saying, hey, I gotta put this down. I know. I can't understand people. I can't understand myself. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.